Welcome back. Here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More of the Money. We're happy that James Stosch, Director, Institute for Community Prosperity at Mount Royal University, has been able to stick around and continue this conversation with us. James, I think we got to pick up the sort of the research and the report that you've been doing, talking about long-term care facilities and caregivers. Clearly, there's been at least a mental shift that we talked about, Faisal, in terms of how people are thinking about whether or not they want to be in a long-term care facility, okay? Whether they want to age at home, and I think that's most people's preference. But maybe just talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing and the research is indicating about, you know, about where what the current trend is, the current thinking is around that.
Yeah, I mean, with very few exceptions, Canadians don't want to live in long-term care. It's not part of their plan. It's not part of their desired future. And so they end up in long-term care quite often after a week-long hospital stay, acute care stay after a fall, for example. And what happens typically is they're moved into long-term care from that setting. The family's discombobulated. Everything's kind of falling apart at once. And so a solution needs to be found quickly. The system we have now kind of funnels people directly into long-term care very quickly and without exploring other options adequately enough. So, we're right now looking at, we spend something like 1.3% of our GDP on long-term care. That will rise in the next 30 years to just under 5% of GDP. It's going to be incredibly expensive to maintain the system we have. And so I know there are, federal budget commitments signaling new investments in long-term care, and that's fine. Canada is about 30% off the OECD average in that respect. But the reality is we can't afford, given the demographic trends, given the rising senior population, given that the number of caregivers, informal caregivers, family members, families are shrinking, so there's not enough people to take care of seniors. So these trend lines are not looking good, and they're going to be incredibly expensive for society. So we have to take a look around the world and look for other exemplars. We need to look at age tech as part of the solution, for sure. There's some really exciting things happening there. But also countries like Denmark. Denmark is a really interesting exemplar because they spend less on seniors care overall than Canada does, but they spend much more on home care and much less on long-term care facilities. In fact, since the 1980s, they've gradually been lowering the number of long-term care facilities, long-term care beds, and increasing, at the same time, the investment in home care, in a universal home care. It's attached to their universal public healthcare program, so it's defined as being part of the universal healthcare if prescribed by a doctor. Home care is not like that in Canada right now. Only about 6% of Canadians have access to home care. And even the home care we have is really uneven in terms of quality.
James, when you look at what's happening in Denmark, what's some of the stuff that's going on there that the provincial governments in Canada could adopt quite quickly to make that change away from long-term care facilities and increase home care? I agree with you. One idea I've been talking about for years, and we had so many ministers as well as members of the medical community here on our show, I've been talking about why not just instead of paying an individual like a nurse to come in, if you've got family members who are going to take time away from work or have to change their entire careers because of this, why not get that funding going to those individuals so they're not losing out of pocket, so they're still got that care. I think some of the best care, Dave, you're one of them that's caring for your mom. Mm-hmm. The care you'd give your mother is different than a care that maybe somebody like a companion would be able to give her that you would hire for. So some of the things that I'm talking about there is like what's happening in Denmark that these provinces can adopt quite quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the spectrum of care is quite broad, right? It's not just kind of feeding and toileting and things like that are a little more acute. But there are things like transportation and advocacy and advocating with the cable company around your TV bill, for example, or scheduling medical appointments, which mostly falls on family members, next of kin to do. So they're part of the caregiving milieu. But what's important to think about is, well, how is that actually supported? so that, you know, a lot of these people are also sandwich generation. You're looking after kids and you're looking after elders. And that can be incredibly stressful. If the senior citizen in your family has dementia, for example, that often leads to underdiagnosed PTSD, and that can affect your employment, your workplace. So there's all kinds of, there's a bunch of like pain points in the system that you can kind of surgically look at, from employer awareness to a range of supports for the caregiver. So for example, Sweden, Australia provide tax benefits, recognized tax benefits to caregivers through the tax code. So there is some, at least some recognition and some ability to compensate that partially. We're also going to have to do a better job of accrediting personal support workers, also called orderlies. They're the professional caregivers. They're the ones who do the feeding and the toileting and the changing beds and those kind of things, administering medicines. Those positions are often, you know, minimum wage or low wage positions. Disproportionately, they are immigrant women of color who are in those positions. We find in our analysis that what should be a really a great entry into the workforce that comes with, you know, with increasing experience, you sort of gain a foothold and start to have some social mobility with a role like that. We actually find the opposite is true, that it's an incredibly disempowering profession to get into. And there's a cycle that actually works against the worker in so many ways, and that then results in elder abuse often, or other forms of deleterious effects on those in aging. We saw this with COVID, of course. This was, you know, Canada stood out more than any other country on earth as having more deaths in long-term care. And a lot of that relates to our inadequacy of training, preparing, paying, and recognizing professional support workers. So there's a bunch of different solutions here that we need to look at.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we've got maybe a minute and a half here, and I know you're not gonna be able to do justice to the question, but you're now the supreme ruler of Canada, and you can wave your magic wand. Given the issues that you see, you wave your magic wand, and what's the first thing to change to get us pointed in the right direction?
Oh, universal home care. We need to get going on that. That is absolutely critical. We need to start ramping up some kind of publicly funded universal healthcare program to complement and offset and eventually replace much of what we now invest in long-term care.
All right, there we have it. That was pretty definitive. James, first of all, I want to thank you for taking some time with us. The report was in depth. It's interesting. This is a topic, Faisal, you and I have been talking about for years, and we know it's only just begun.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the population is aging, and we are going to be, over the next 10 to 20 years, facing all of these problems. And James has already identified the fact, we know about this problem, it's coming, right? Yeah. And so how frustrated have we been over these years where there's a lot of talk, when does the action stop? When does that magic wand happen? And that first step, big step, be taken, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a magic wand, Dave. It can just be a, let's start the solution conversation, not just the conversation of what the problem is.
Right.
Yeah, I think we know what the problem is.
Fair.
Now let's get into some solutions. And I think those politicians who are listening to the show, those who are in the medical community, that could put some pressure. Also, all the people who are going through this, like yourself with your mom, myself with my father, we're voters at the end of the day. We have to vote on this. So why not make this one of the biggest election issues coming up in the next provincial election? I think that will be a big change.
Yep.
We haven't made it a big issue.
You're right.
It's a huge issue. It's coming. And we're going to make it one when it's right in front of our face, as opposed to down the road where we can fix it. So,
right. And it's going to be more expensive and less effective if we get there.
There you go.
Yeah, James, thank you very much for all your input today.
My pleasure, Faisal. Dave, good to talk to you.
We've been joined by James Stotch, who is the director, Institute for Community Prosperity at Mount Royal University. And I think we're going to have to keep in touch with James and the research, continue to push this agenda and advocate on behalf of the people we do a lot of work for, because it's lifestyle related at the end of the day.
It is lifestyle related. And you can just get the sense that because of this delay in action, there's going to be more out-of-pocket expenses and away from universal care, which means the individual have to pay more for their health care in the future. And how do you do that? You need to bulletproof your retirement, covering not only your day-to-day expenses, but also the healthcare expenses in the future. Let's talk about our solution to that problem on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Let's make those New Year's lifestyle and financial resolutions, turn them from dreams to realities. We're going to do that in the next segment. Let's talk about that. So stick around. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.